My name is Jeff Archie, and thank you for joining us once again on this broadcast. A thought from the book of Acts of how glad tidings, the gospel message, was delivered then and delivered now. But we realize in study of God's Word, there are occasions where some things are simply not positive. We must address these matters in order for us to enjoy the glad tidings God has brought forth. We need to warn, we need to plead and understand that when things come our way that we seem to think are a challenge, that God is all behind it. Let me see if I can explain it this way. When Satan tempted Eve in Genesis, the third chapter, obviously there was nothing positive about it. Such lying brought forth deceived mankind and therefore cast a negative effect on the world, the effect of sin. Well, obviously, there are times we must pause and examine the negative aspects that will destroy our lives. But let us be reminded of these four things as we study this morning. First of all, God warns us because He loves us. He declares unto us the glad tidings of the gospel, but warns us to beware of things. After all, for the ungodly, for the enemy, and for the sinners, Christ died for us, that we may be able to overcome. We're called ungodly, enemies, and sinners in Romans 5, verses 6 through 10. We also note that God loves the church, or gave us the church, because He loves us. Purchased by His Son in Acts 20 and verse 28, we have the blessing of being redeemed and remaining faithful to His cause. Revelation 2 and verse 10, and 1 John 1 and verse 7. My friend, are you a member of the church we read of in the New Testament? If not, please understand, your soul is in jeopardy, and there are things that need to change. But thirdly, God gave us one another because He loves us. That's the beauty of being a member of the church we read of in the New Testament. John 13, 34 and 35 reminds that's how people know that we are the disciples of Christ, if we have love one for another. We can lean on and support one another and know we don't face these type of challenges alone, and we're able to endure them with each other's help. But fourth, God wants us to understand while He is a God of love as defined in 1 John 4 and verse 8. We also understand that God is a God of severity. Romans 11, 22 affirms the goodness and the severity of God. Toward thee goodness, but toward them which fail severity. And we're reminded not to fall away from the living God. Therefore today, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. The first part of 2 Corinthians 5:11. It is our plea that the study of the next few moments, while it may be negative in nature, should be to heat us up like the illustration of silver, that we may cast away all the impurities and do God's will. Consider with me, first of all, the works of the flesh. Even the thought of the statement will turn one. In Galatians 5:19 through 21, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. When you and I consider the works of the flesh, for the next few moments, I want you to think with me of some declarations concerning these works, and then I want us to define these words. Now, I read from the King James Version, so I will go from there, but I may mention words that may be in their place in another translation. Declarations concerning the works of the flesh, we understand that these are behaviors that one walks in. People honestly live this way. But Paul in Galatians 5:16-18 said, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law." Folks, we have to make a decision to live right. It just doesn't happen. We cannot expect everything to fall in place. We must decide to live right. Don't be deceived. When we leave attended or left unattended, the works of the flesh will encompass one's life. Now, the word manifest in verse 19 of Galatians 5 means confirmed or revealed. the things we're about to study, one knows these things are wrong. It's clear and understood, but yet they engage in it anyway. They never pray to God for strength. They never try to walk faithful. They want to live this way. And it will condemn their soul, beloved. The very glance at this, if not avoided, it will lead one away and grasp us tighter than we realized. Let's see what we need to avoid as we define the works of the flesh. First of all, we note adultery. This is defined as one who has unlawful intimacy or intercourse with the spouse of another. We see it condemned also in 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 9. We understand the purity of the marriage bed that should be undefiled, Hebrews 13, 4. Also, there are those, according to Paul in Romans 7 and verse 4, that commit spiritual adultery as they break their spiritual union with the Christ because they are married to Christ as Christians, Ephesians 5, 22 through 33. Jesus taught of marriage and divorce and remarriage, without the exception of fornication, is also adultery. Think of how many marriages to this day that are in an adulterous state. But the second word is fornication. This is illicit intimacy or intercourse, if you will, but also has prostitution and also includes pornography. And so the word itself embraces this challenge, this degradation of the spirit. It's a work of the flesh. Uncleanness is simply moral uncleanness, and that's all of verse 19. Such things, Paul said in Ephesians 5 and verse 3, should not be named among us. Well, you may wonder then, preacher, why are you mentioning this today? When Paul said it should not be named among us in Ephesians 5 and verse 3, he was in essence saying don't talk about it to where you would endorse it or discuss it in a favorable light. But rather we discuss it to be warned to stay away from it. Changing God's truth to a lie. Homosexuality. Envy, deceit, backbiting, even being disobedient to parents, unmerciful. In Romans 1, 24 through 32, all these things fall under an unclean life. Let's back up to the thought of backbiting. Can you imagine that behavior in the workplace about other people? And of course, one is given to lasciviousness, and we can see that in Ephesians 4:19. Uncleanness in this verse covers all of verse 19. But the next word we note is lasciviousness. It may be the word licentiousness. It's a prominent idea as a shameless conduct, an absence of restraint. How about indecent bodily movements or wantonness? Ladies and gentlemen, take a look at the modern dance today. Recently, where I preach, we had a spring formal, which is a high school prom alternative, to allow kids to be able to avoid these type of things but still enjoy the evening. But we move on. How about idolatry? That's the worshiping of idols. A slave of ideas one idols represent. Covetousness, greed, if you will, is called also idolatry. It's akin to gambling as well. Oh, preacher, you mean buying a lottery ticket will condemn a person? When you take a look at the word idolatry and how covetousness is idolatry and how we desire the almighty dollar rather than to follow after God who will give us richly all things to enjoy? Absolutely. How about the word witchcraft? We also see a word here, sorcery. But this means a use of drugs, illegal drugs, even prescription drugs, incantations, and appeals to cult powers. My friends, drug abuse, whether it's prescription or whether it is just drug abuse with meth or other drugs that will tear our bodies apart. Our bodies are the temple of the living God, which we'll look at in another broadcast very soon. See, these are things we need to avoid. They are works of the flesh. They will cause us to lose heaven. The word hatred is the word maliciousness. Within that word hatred, you and I see the challenges of grudges, of having bitterness in our lives. Those things, while we think do not hurt anyone else, will cause us to lose our souls. The word variance means a contention or a rivalry. Now, folks, it's not like a college football rivalry where two college teams play it out. That word is used in that sense, but rivalry means there's contention. a constant, consistent battle that we will not let go. How about the word emulations? Here's where we get the thoughts of jealousy or envies. It's where we try to break others down to set up oneself. It's an unholy zeal. If we can tear others apart to make ourselves look good, yeah, that's a work of the flesh too. How about the word wrath? Turbulent passions, or an outburst, or hot anger, or passion, or angry, or anger that boils up. You hear a person that says, well, that's just the way I am. I have a short temper. Well, that short temper will condemn your soul, friend. Well, you have to take me just like I am. Then, my friends, let me remind you of a wonderful invitation song that says, just as I am. God wants you just as you are, but He wants you and I to change the way He wants us to. We do ourselves a great disservice and a great dishonor under God when we say that's just the way that I am. God wants you and I to change for His good. How about the word strife? The word contention, it's an expression of enmity. Let's see if Romans 13:13 reminds us the first part, let us walk honestly, and reminds us not in strife and envying. We must put away that strife and that bitterness. Then we see the word sedition, which literally means a standing apart or a dissension or a division. Now, folks, as you and I have seen so far in the works of the flesh, when we look at hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, and even heresies and envy, my friends, do you see how a little bit that starts creates into a bigger problem? Take, for example, the first word that even gives the indication, hatred. That means grudge or holding in the heart. And then it results in our actions. And the next thing you know, it consumes us. These things are works of the flesh, which means they will affect us and they must cease. But we move on and consider the word heresies. This means separating from communion with each other, or a party spirit in the church, where an opinion or a self-willed attitude, a self-willed opinion is substituted for the submission to the power of truth. It leads to division in the formation of sects, S-E-C-T-S. Friends, how do you think denominationalism came? Everybody wanted to do something their own way rather than to go back to God's Word, the pattern, and say, what we do, why do we do it? Why do we put this forth? Ladies and gentlemen, I would kindly challenge you, look at what the church where you attend does and ask yourself, do we follow it according to the pattern of the New Testament? Thoughts on this also have come to where it says erroneous opinions are frequently the outcome of personal preference or the prospect of advantage. And we note this from 2 Peter 2 and verse 1 where the thought destructive signifies leading to ruin. My friends, divisions must stop. We must come together as one. That's what Jesus prayed for in John the 17th chapter. And Paul desired that we would be of one spirit and of one mind in Philippians chapter 2, 1 through 4, and also 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 10. Would it be wonderful to see every church building with the same name on the door, the name of Christ, who purchased the church? Would it be wonderful to walk inside and to see the same conduction, the same conducting, if you will, of worship? That's true unity, dear friends. But let's think on further of the works of the flesh. You and I see the word envy. It's been called a passion that is least curable. It's a displeasure also in seeing happiness or to take advantage of others. Folks, you and I can see how this just builds up. And then we come to the word murders. Overall, folks, that means the destruction of human life. That would include abortion, infanticide, taking of one's life. The word revelings refers to a lascivious feast with obscene songs or music. Thayer defined it like this, a nocturnal and riotous procession of half-drunken and frolicsome fellows who after supper parade through the streets with torches, music, and honor of some other deity and sing before houses of male and female friends. Well, this ties back, if you will, to drunkenness, the word before it, referring to strong drink or habitual intoxication. But even here in our definitions, you and I find how the revel rings and the reaction is sinful. We're talking of half-drunken. So if somebody says, well, a drink won't hurt you, my friends, it will affect you and it will condemn your soul. Because if that doesn't do it, look at the last phrase there, such like, which means look as these things or resemble these things. What did Paul say, friends? Of the which I tell you before, as I told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Dear friend, no longer do these things. Would you stop that today and make a change in your life and let us know how we can help you? Thank you for joining us today. I'm Jeff Archie. We'll see you next time.